KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's cloudy and 74 degrees. We look for scattered showers and thunderstorms today, a high around 75. Flash flood watch continues for the entire listening area until 7 a.m. on Wednesday. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle. Call 641-745-5253. The Atlantic City Council will gather for a regularly scheduled session tomorrow evening at 5:30 at City Hall. During their meeting, Mayor Dave Jones is expected to announce Halloween trick-or-treating will be held in the city on October 31st from 5:30 until 7:30 p.m. Downtown trick-or-treating will be held on that date from 3:30 until 5, with the Atlantic News Telegraph costume contest registration beginning at 3:45 and the contest held at 4:10 p.m. The council Wednesday will also act on closing streets on October 12th for the 6 p.m. Atlantic Firemen's Parade. The route starts at East 2nd and Chestnut Streets and proceeds south to East 6th before turning east onto East 6th and north onto Walnut to East 2nd. Lineup for the parade will be on West 2nd Street. In other business, the council will act on an order approving a contract with SWPCO, the Southwest Iowa Planning Council, for supplementary services for the Planning and Zoning Commission. City Administrator John Lund says, serving as the zoning administrator for the past 8.5 years, he's observed several expensive infrastructure problems that could have been avoided with proper planning. Lund said it is not the job of developers to look out for the broad picture of development of the community. That's the job of the Planning and Zoning Commission, but they're limited to the information provided to them by city staff. Lund says the proposed contract with SWPCO would provide the city with assistance from a professional planner on an as-needed basis at a rate of $50 per hour. SWPCO's Alexis Fleener would act as a consultant and provide an independent voice to the P&Z. Lund says based on historic average of meetings with the commission, he's forecasting a 10-year budgetary impact of $34,500. For the current fiscal year, he anticipates $3,000 in additional costs to the finance and administration budget. And in his report to the council, Lund will discuss a request for the community protection meeting to address safety issues with downtown buildings. He'll mention there was a second incident where parts of the downtown building have fallen off, this time with debris striking a local businesswoman. Lund said he's concerned there's a risk to public safety that needs to be addressed. Last December, you may recall a section of a brick facade on the north wall of a building at 500 Chestnut collapsed, showering bricks onto the sidewalk. At the time, Police Chief Dave Erickson estimated 2 to 3 tons of brick fell from a section of wall about 20 to 30 feet wide and about 6 feet tall near the top of the building. No injuries were reported during that incident, but 3 people who lived on the second floor of the building were evacuated for a time, and the street was cordoned off while repairs could be made and the wall reinforced. Prior to adjourning for the evening, the Atlantic City Council Wednesday will enter into a closed session to discuss legal matters with regard to real estate and a dilapidated property. Cass County Auditor Dale Sunderman reports rules for the election of school board members changed on July the 1st, and school board elections changed from September to November. On November 5th of this year, a countywide election will be held at which both school board members and city officers will be elected. New election rules require that each voter vote in his or her county of residence, and that each voter is to vote at his or her voting precinct used in the general or presidential primary or other countywide election. Combining of the precincts is permitted. This is a countywide election, and every voter in Cass County is eligible to vote. Some will vote for both city and school offices and public measures, the city residents, and rural voters will vote for school offices and public measures only. Voting locations have changed for some voters. If you're not sure of where your precinct is for the upcoming election, contact the Cass County Auditor's Office or visit the county website at www.casscountyiowa.us. The precincts to be used in Cass County at the combined city and school election, which will be conducted Tuesday, November 5th, are as follows. And a reminder, you can see this entire list on our news page at kjan.com. Atlantic First Ward will vote at the Zion Lutheran Church. Atlantic Second Ward at the Atlantic Public Library. Atlantic Third Ward at the Cass County Community Center. Fourth Ward at the United Church of Christ. And Fifth Ward at the Heritage House. City of Anita and Grant and Lincoln Townships will vote at the Anita Community Center. For voters in Anita and voters in, residing in the Cam School District, City of Cumberland and Union Township will vote at the Cumberland Community Building. Voters for the City of Griswold and the Noble and Pleasant Townships will be at the Griswold Community Building on November 5th. City of Lewis and Cass and Bear Grove Townships will be at the Lewis Public Library. City of Marnie and Brighton, Grove, Pimosa, and Washington Townships at the Cass County Community Center. City of Messina and Edna and Victoria and Messina Townships will vote at the Messina Public Library on November 5th. And City of Wyota and Benton and Franklin Townships will vote at the Wyota City Hall. Well, Iowa House Speaker Linda Uppmeyer says that she will not seek re-election next year and plans to resign as Speaker before lawmakers return in January. Republican lawmakers in 2015 chose Uppmeyer to be the first woman in Iowa to hold the job as Speaker of the House, the presiding officer over the legislative chamber. The GOP lawmaker of 17 years said Monday that she wants to step away from the legislature to spend more time with her family. Uppmeyer, a nurse practitioner from Clear Lake, was first elected to the Iowa House in 2002. She became the first woman in Iowa to be elected House Majority Leader in 2010. No date has been set yet for a House leadership election. Uppmeyer's father, Del Stromer, served as House Speaker back in the 1980s. The governor has announced the state of Iowa's last fiscal year ended with a surplus of nearly $290 million. The state's 12-month fiscal year ended June 30th, but the books don't close until 2 months later to ensure all receipts and payments are processed. This year's $289.3 million surplus is more than twice as large as last year's. A new report says a September survey of business supply managers suggests a slump in economic growth is continuing for 9 Midwestern and Plains states. The report issued this morning says the Mid-America Business Conditions Index fell further below growth neutral, hitting 49.1 last month compared to 49.3 in August. The figure was 52.0 in July. The index had remained above growth neutral for 32 straight months. Creighton University economist Ernie Goss oversees the survey, and he says trade disagreements and the global economic slowdown have cut regional growth to about two-thirds of that of the U.S. The survey results are compiled in a collection of indices ranging from 0 to 100. Any score above 50 suggests growth. A score below that suggests decline. And the executive director of the Iowa Business Council says their third-quarter survey shows weaker confidence among members. Georgia Van Gundy says the survey found sales expectations for the next year were down 24% compared to survey results from 1 year ago.
Due primarily to the political and global market uncertainty and disruptive regulatory climate is what they cite. So in the past quarters, you know, they've been pretty positive, but this time, you know, they aren't as optimistic as they have been.
The survey also questions members on expected capital spending and workforce to get an overall index. Van Gundy says that the survey's overall index is down from last quarter.
Our economic outlook survey we've been putting out since 2004, and this quarter it's at the lowest point that it's been since Q4 of 2016.
The index dropped from 63.75 to 62.5. The organization includes the chief executives of the 23 biggest companies in Iowa. Van Gundy says the uncertainty of when trade deals are going to get completed is a big issue.
That's why our members have been speaking with the Iowa delegation as far as passage of USMCA and some other issues that they see from a trade perspective. We met with them during our third quarter meeting, and we've also been sending in letters and other communications around the state just talking about the importance of getting some certainty in this area and passing USMCA.
33% of those in the survey expect the number of employees in their business to grow over the fourth quarter, and 53% expect the number to stay the same. Van Gundy says finding employees to do that remains a challenge.
Workforce is always an issue, you know, with employers, any size employer in our state, and honestly, it's in other states as well. But for our members, 83% of them cite attracting, developing, and retaining a quality workforce as constraining for them for growth.
Van Gundy says they continue to try and address the worker shortage with programs that help to train workers and build the workforce.
Some of them are short-term issues that we're working on, but some of them are hopefully long-term that will help us hopefully stabilize workforce. You know, in addition to that, one of our high-level initiatives that the members have is looking at increasing our population.
You can see the full survey by going to the Iowa Business Council's website. The news was brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle. Give them a call at 641-745-5253. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.